A happy Wednesday, everyone. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and this is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I hope you're listening live right now because tonight's a very special night. I have with me two very special women. One of them is Detective Nell Callahan, who is just finished up a case called The Damp Fedora, and she's going to talk all about it. And then I have her biographer, Kate Pilarczyk, with me, who is a specialist in suspense and intrigue. She's a promoter. She's an author. She's got moxie, and I can't wait for you to meet her. But in the meantime, we're going to talk to Kate Callahan, who is a detective, and we're going to find all about her case of the damp fedora. Hello, Nell, are you there? Nell, are you there?
Hello, Pam? Is that you, Pam?
Yeah. Hi, oh, Nell. Well, how are you? Welcome to the
Pam,
show,
I'm
Nell.
Fine.
I'm glad you took some time off from your job to give me a few minutes to talk about the cases you've been working on. I know that you're a detective, and I wonder, can you tell me how you became a detective?
Well, Pam, there's a lot of canaries down the docks that told me about you, so I got clearance. I can tell you some. I'm set up as a private eye with a penchant for winking trouble's way. I can load a Luger or lead on a loser without looking over my shoulder come the end of any old coffee and donut day. But, Pam, you know that's how they come at you when you least expect it. But stories, oh, my, every sucker behind the eight ball's got to stop you one. You think they're on the up and up? No way, Buster Brown. Those crumb bombs hit the pavement. Oh, every bird is working an angle, but, Pam, you know that. My job, well, the job that covers my job, is to cut through some slick con shadow. You know, let the truth shine for the chippies and the chopper squad, the menfolk who measure themselves by how big their Tommy guns really are. Yeah, you get my drift.
I do. I get the drift big time. Now, you're one of the first of your kind in this country, aren't you? Congratulations. You're quite the broad.
Well, Pam, we like to keep a little profile in the profession, but, yeah, a dame's got to do what a dame's got to do.
I hear that. I hear that. You've just finished with a really big caper called The Damp Fedora. Can you tell me anything about it?
Well, I was sitting in my office, and this guy came in like the wind off a Narragansett sail, you know, brusque and brash. And he wouldn't really give me his name. He said I could call him any Tom, Dick, or Harry. Or just an average Joe. I passed on Joe. There was nothing average about this guy. But it was raining. It was raining that night by the bay, and he took his damp fedora off, and he put it on his on my mahogany, and it really bothers me when my mahogany gets puddles on it like that. So I listened to him say he was looking for something, but he didn't know what he was looking for, which puzzled me, but the damp fedora making the puddle bothered me a little bit more, so I knew a change of venue was in order. So we took a walk down the street, and we went to the Hill of Beans that brews the best cup of coffee a rainy night can brew. And there's a guy there, Albie Magruder, sort of like an extra uncle from my mother, who was a charming bootlegger person from the 1920s that I never really got to meet. But all these secret uncles pop up, and they know her, and they keep an eye out. Well, Magruder kept an eye out at his coffee shop that night and watched what went on between, I called him not Harry, but that's the name that he wanted to go by that night. Harry was looking for a will that his lawyer couldn't give him because when he went to his lawyer, he was shot dead and wasn't speaking anymore. But in the background of the restaurant, there was a man who kept rustling papers, just on and on, same cup of coffee, hours it seemed. Can't tell you too much more, but that guy pulled me out into the alley, and then the story gets a little stranger, and I lost track of Harry for a while, but we got back together later on because I was on a mission. I heard I can tell you things. I had to connect with my handler, Mo Berg, who was really a catcher for the Chicago White Sox. Mo was one of the guys that our boss, Wild Bill Donovan, brought in because common people made a difference in the OSS. And Mo was on Babe Ruth's All-Star team that went to Japan. Mo never made it to a game, never made it to practice. Mo's purpose was to go to the hospital in Tokyo, the tallest building in Japan, wear the traditional kimono, go up all the flights of stairs to where the ambassador from the United States' wife was having a baby. Mo had in his hand blue flowers in pink, dropped them in the garbage because his role was not to find out what the baby was, but to go to the roof of the tallest hotel, tallest hospital in Japan and use the equipment that Hollywood had given to the OSS to photograph where the war armaments were setting up, and that's what he did. So Mo's been around, and he's my handler, and I have to listen to him, but geez, oh man, the big lug gets in my nerves sometimes. We got a mission, and when
wow.
this Harry guy came along, I wasn't ready.
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you what, it takes some moxie, and I've heard you're the dame with all the moxie, and congratulations on a successful outcome. I'm glad for you. I'd like to hear more stories, but it's my understanding that you've allowed Polarchuk to be your biographer. And I'd really like to talk to Kate. Do you mind?
I don't mind. Kate's okay. She actually wrote everything at night with only 1940s music playing. So Kate knows. Tell it like it is. Just a second. Hey, it's for you.
Okay.
Hello. Hello, Pam.
Hi.
Hi, Kate here. Hi, how
Hi,
are
Kate.
You?
Hi, Kate. It's Pam Stack with Authors on the Air. How are you?
Fine, and thank you so much. It's an honor and a joy, and I'm laughing inside already talking to you.
Oh, well, good. Well, listen, before we get started, I have two people who've been waiting on the phone since before the show started, so let's take a call and see what this is all about, okay?
All right.
Area code 305, you're live. Who's this?
This is
Hello?
Don Donovan. This is Don Donovan.
Hi, Don
from
Donovan.
How
are
you?
You're live
I'm
Kate Polarchuk, and you have
Don
questions.
Donovan,
you have
you're,
comments.
You're a Miami guy, aren't you?
I am,
he is
right.
And I told
Nell that I would not miss this podcast, and I'm very pleased to be here. I started reading her adventure last night, and I plan to finish it up tonight or tomorrow. And it's pretty good. I can't wait to get back to
it. Oh, good. I'm loving that. Do you have any questions for her? you've got Nell's biographer right here, Kate Polarchuk. Anything you want to ask her?
Hi, Don.
Well, yeah. I actually, I'd like to ask Kate where she got the idea, which I think is a great idea, of writing this book with 1940s music playing in the background. What a great idea!
it goes to era, and it just goes to era and mood, and you're back there. You do it in the dark, and you have nothing but a best cup of coffee or any night can brew, and well, actually, you don't write it. You let the character write through you, and that's exactly what happened
yeah.
with Aunt Fedora. Yeah.
That's what you have to do. Let the character write through you. That's great.
Yeah.
And
awesome.
I can tell you that the parts that I've read, as much as I've read so far, I'm really getting a strong sense of the character, and I love the way that you use these jazzy riffs on the language.
Isn't it great, Don?
This book. Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, isn't it great? It's wonderful
it really
to read that, and it really puts you in Nell's time zone. You're right there.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
And I just keep picturing, my favorite TV, I guess they were movies at one time, but TV movies, where it was the Thin Man series. And I'm just right there in the Thin Man when I'm reading Nell Callahan and the Damp Fedora, aren't you?
Uh-huh. Well,
oh,
yeah,
you're
going to
make that
not
to happy. That's his favorite noir movie.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, I mean it's just great to see someone who appreciates the literature and the music and the movies and everything of that era.
You couldn't write it though.
And you really have done a great job of of transforming, I should say, of transmitting that into your noir vella, which, by the way, I love that word.
Don, I love you too, man. I hope we meet up someday. I'll get you the best cup of joe, man.
All right.
All right, Don, do you want to kick back and listen? Want me to put you back on hold so you can listen through your phone?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Okay, perfect. All right, thanks, Don. Thanks for calling in, Don Donovan. Okay.
All right, thank you.
All righty. Let's go ahead and put him on hold.
We've
got another call.
Another call?
Hi. Yeah, we got a bunch of calls here waiting. Area code 803, you're live. Who's this?
I think are you talking to me?
Area code 803.
If that's who you've got, you're talking to Sasser Hill in South Carolina.
Hi, Sasser Hill.
Hi.
You're talking to Nell Callahan and her biographer, Kate Pilarczyk.
That's wonderful.
You're talking to the greatest writer of racing horse mysteries. This is pretty neat. Hi, Sasser Hill.
She's
it. It is neat because I've got to tell you, I started reading your book, Kate, and I think Megan Abbott had better look out because you've got it down stone cold. I mean, I want to know, what did you do to get the language and the music of the language of that era? I mean, you really got it. Is it just something you've always been interested in? Did you study it a little before you started writing? How did you pull this off?
Well, how do you watch a Bogart film without falling in love with it? I mean,
well, that's true.
You're there, but in this case, Nell really just wrote through me. But at night, I have to thank the Dorsey brothers and Benny Goodman and Harry James and Miss Billy and Ella.
Nat
King Cole and some lanky guy named Frankie. But if they're just playing the whole time you're writing, and it's only dark,
that's
and you're
fabulous.
Only using the lingo, it just comes through. There's no way you could come into 1960, 1980, or 2016. It can't happen.
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, it's just, you've got, dare I say it, it's kind of lame, but you have all the usual suspects. It's great. It's really great.
Isn't it? But you know something? I didn't think about that, Sasha. You're right about. I mean, I love Megan's books. They're absolutely sensational, as are yours,
too,
by the way. And I was thinking, geez, you know, who does this sound like when I'm reading? And it doesn't sound like anyone except I really do feel like a character back in the 40s. I mean, I could just be in a Bogie film or, like I said, Nick and Nora, the Thin Man series, whom I absolutely adore those, you know, they were my favorite. And even if you just watch clips of the old black and white television shows and movies, I just love being in that era. I love how they dress, everything.
Oh,
it's
the clothes.
So cool.
Oh, my God, the clothes,
right?
The shoulder pads, the
right?
Shoes, the little narrow waist.
The hat.
I knew she'd go for the shoes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to go off, Kate, for a second. And while we have you, Sasser, what's happening with you? What are you doing these days?
Well, I am writing, I just finished a two-book series for St. Martin's, and the first one comes out on April 18th. It's called Flamingo Road, and I'm very excited about it. And in the meantime, I started writing a book about the Irish travelers here in South Carolina, you know, the sort of scam artists that go around and do people's driveways and roofs. So I thought, what a great background for a murder mystery. So I'm kind of trying to do a lot of things at once.
Well, I'm gonna hunt you down on Facebook, and I'm gonna invite you to come on the show, so
I'd love to tell us about that.
I'd love to have you, and I'm so glad that you called in to speak to our dame of the hour, isn't Kate great? I know.
Yeah, Kate's amazing, and she's smart as a whip, and boy, does she know how to talk.
Yep.
She's the best.
I'm telling you, you're not kidding.
Who, me?
You're not
kidding.
Yeah,
you.
It's true, and I will proudly tell everyone that she is my cuz, so this is my cousin.
I didn't know that.
Cool. We decided, we're related.
We can't really say that a whole lot, although, you know, when you have your own radio show, you get to pretty much do whatever you want.
That's true. It's nice, isn't it?
You know, I can really do whatever I want and not worry too much about repercussions since I'm the executive producer anyway. But the book is so good. The Damp Fedora is so fantastic that how can you not want to talk to the creator, right?
Absolutely,
wow.
And the little bit I've read, I was just loving it. I mean, you never know when you pick up a book by somebody you know that you really like the person, and you think, am I going to like the book? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I love it. It's great. It's great. So
yep.
It's all
well,
good.
That worked
yep.
out well.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad that you called in.
Thank you.
On tonight. And I'll be in touch with you, okay, Sasser? Thank you
Okey-dokey.
So much.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
Bye, guys.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay, and we've got another call.
Another one. This is great.
Hi.
I
yep. Area code 503. You are live. Who's this?
Hi. This is Bruce Cantwell calling from rainy Portland, Oregon, where I wear a.
I cannot believe it. He called. I can't believe he called.
I knew he would.
We were making.
I knew this man.
We were making bets before the show.
He's been trying to challenge me. There's no way he would not call.
I wear a damn fedora 9 months of the year.
We were making bets before the show. I swear to God, Bruce. I said, he won't call. He won't even come on and be a guest. And she's saying, yeah, he will. He'll count. And I
want
said, no,
dollar.
I'm not going to.
I want a dollar on a bet. Thanks, Bruce.
I'm telling you. She won the best cup of Joe in town, that's for sure. How are you? What do you think of this Nell Callahan and the damp fedora?
I'm in love with both of you. I've had such fun playing in your sandbox for the past couple of days.
I'm so glad you're having fun. That's great.
I want to see if she can identify an author for me. I have some quotes. Either one of them.
Raymond Taylor. Thanks.
Okay. You got it already?
Yeah, let's just say I got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
He looked about as inconspicuous as a tarantula on a slice of angel food. I think a man ought to get drunk at least twice a year just on principle so he won't let himself get snotty about it.
Oh,
and I just read these lines, too. I just read this. And you're talking to a woman who reads 400 books a year, and I'm supposed to remember every line. Jeez. You're a devil.
Can
I'm leaving it up to the
someone?
Author. Yeah, the devil.
Yeah.
Good
that's about
grief.
That's about right.
You're so
right,
funny.
So
okay,
so you're 1940s writing too, there, buddy.
A little bit. Did Paul D. Marx call in yet?
No. But let me. I have another caller coming. I have another caller. So do you hold on 1 second and let me find out. Let's find out. Paul called in. Hold on.
Scared.
There you go. Hi, area code 917. Who's this?
Scott Adler.
Hi, Scott.
Scott,
how are you?
Oh, Scott, the movie man. You can answer the noir quote. This is the movie noir mania man of the world.
Scott, poor Scott. Well, don't we put any pressure on you, right?
He can handle it. He thinks Scott's on his feet.
Are you there, Scott? We can barely hear you.
Oh.
Okay, good. Okay, go ahead. Hello?
Turn your computer off, Scott.
Do you have the computer on, Scott? You have to turn it off of this particular link because it's causing a feedback?
I'm just talking on the cell phone. Hold on.
This is truly the shadows of noir.
I'm telling you. It really is.
It really is. Well, he does know.
Bruce,
Scott
don't go away.
Does know movies.
All right. Scott, are you there?
I don't have my
okay,
computer
Scott,
on.
Are you there
sorry.
Now? Okay. You have questions. We may have answers, so go right ahead.
We may.
Scott, are you there?
Yeah.
Scott, you're fading in and out, hon. Maybe you want to call back in again? 347-633-9609. Go ahead and try calling back in again because we've lost you. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Scott.
Okay. All right. All right. Bruce, you're back.
Hello.
Hi.
I've got the phone thing down.
You've got the phone thing down. We have it. I think his cell was kind of fading in and out there, so we weren't getting it.
I know.
So, all right. You gave us some quotes. Now go ahead and give us answers. Who are you quoting?
Oh, she knows.
You had Chandler.
Come on.
Yeah, Raymond Chandler. I was
just
wondering.
I believe he's my uncle.
Who else would it be but Raymond Chandler? We're talking about 40s and noir and suspense and everything. Not the least bit obvious of you, right, Bruce? You're so
funny. Not the
least
bit,
no. You are so funny. Okay, so
I had a question.
You've got questions.
Yeah. Were you at the last BoucherCon?
The last BoucherCon was my third.
Oh, no, the current one. The New Orleans one.
Yeah, were you there? Did I miss you? Because I think I saw there was 2,000 people there. I was way into the thousands. How did I miss you?
I was just hiding in a hole in Portland, actually.
Evidently, in the shadows of Portland. All right.
I can't leave. It's too rainy here. But did you get to go to Noir at the Bar at all, or?
Noir at the Bar, I'm glad you asked that question. There was one Noir at the Bar, but the big one was sponsored by Down and Out Books for their 5th anniversary. My publisher, Eric Campbell.
Right.
But it was so crowded that the people that belonged to Down and Out Books couldn't go in and listen to the people reading in Down and Out Books until we knew that Danny Gardner and Gary Phillips were up and, well, we're broads and dames, and we just muscled our way in, and we were there. Oh, Tom Pitts played the guitar to a
right, Tom,
story.
Which I knew
yes.
about. Bruce, the other Noir at the Bar was created by Eric Beatner.
Right.
Eric Beatner.
And he had a really
–
right. He
and I
had a
Renee
really good
for the first time.
Renee Pickup, she's read
yes.
on the one of the shows before. She's really good. And
too,
so
yes. – Dangerous Women.
He planned that to be part of the BoucherCon thing, so he was able to get a room and all, and apparently it went really, really well. He's just really a terrific guy, and you know, really has, I mean, he's got smarts beyond what most people I know have. So I wasn't, as you know, Bruce, I wasn't there this year. I could not go. I was in a hospital.
Photos for Pam. You're welcome to go back through.
How is your recovery coming along?
Fine. I'm walking. We're 3 weeks from surgery, post-surgery, and I'm fine. I'm walking normally without any assistance. So
that's good to hear.
Can you play
the
piano?
Thank God for Dr. Cutie and his assistance. So thank you for asking, though. But, you know, coming back to the air and having – first, Chris Holm on Monday, who, you know, was the
right.
Anthony Award winner, and now having Nell Callahan and Kate Plarch gone, you can't beat that. I mean, you know, it's a great line. I have a great lineup. I'm really blessed. So
I'm a little mad at Chris Holm because we had two Mysterious News subscribers up for Best Novel, Matt Coyle and Hank Phillippe Ryan, and he beat both of them. Aw.
Shameless.
Oh, but come on. Listen, I have to tell you, though, let's be serious. Now, I know Hank, I've known Hank for a long time. Hank wins awards every year. He's not suffering. I will tell you what I thought about this year, and this is in all honesty. Chris really thought he was going to lose to Louise Penny because she's so
right.
good and all. And I was thrilled at the number of nominees of the newer authors the newer neo-noir authors who are writing pulp and really dark crime fiction, the guys that haven't, guys and gals who haven't been up there, who have not been up there, it, you know, because for a while it was the same people over and over again, and that's not to take away from those people who've won multiple awards, but it was nice to see, like Art Taylor who won, and Chris, whose books, by the way, if you have not read them, are absolutely stunningly good. Stunningly good. They're just magnificent.
Well, Art Taylor is on Team Mysterious News, so we approve of his win.
Oh. Yes. We're glad. We're so glad. Okay. Well, I think Scott's trying to get back in, so do you want to hang on and listen by the phone? Bruce,
no, I actually have to get to my writing group.
Go to your writing group.
I'll listen to the rest later.
Tell him you were talking to two broads who think you're pretty cool, all right?
Okay. Great talking to you both.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, let's try Scott again and see how this is.
All right.
Scott, are you there?
I'm here. Can
are
you
hear
me
Scott?
This time?
Hey, now that's
we can,
good.
I can hear you
the
great
other guy
this
was
time.
Taking it.
Okay, good. So, Kate, if I can ask you a question.
Okay.
No, I just wanted to, like, where did you get the idea for, you know, all these tying in this story to the sports figures, like Eddie Watkins and the fascinating Mo Berg?
Well, first off, The Damn Fedora is a woman's book because every woman has some Nell in her, but it's a man's book for the reason because it's tough and Nell does symbolism go to bat for people. Nell really wrote this story, and I had them in the coffee house. Mo Berg was a genuine baseball player that the OSS used. And
oh, I know.
That was what I was going for. Just history has worked all the way in. And when you're at the end of reading fiction, you find out, because of the history notes section at the back of every book, that basically what you wrote, what you read, and that you can't make good stuff like this up is true. And the guy in the back booth, when I was researching the era, the Eddie Watkins story just fascinated me.
Mm-hmm.
It took me, I know you're the movie man, but you'll laugh to see that I found out after I wrote the book that the Eddie Watkins story was Robert Redford's Bernard Malamar
natural
story. I didn't find out until after.
That's one of the most famous baseball stories, the stalker and he was shot.
It's wonderful.
Right.
And every piece in there was true from the Edgewater Hotel, exactly how it happened. Well, I threw my uncle in as the bellhop, but that was the only difference.
Yeah, no, I just find that really, because those, I mean, the Eddie Watkins stories are, you know, really kind of a, you know, sad one, but Mo Berg is a character, he was like a character out of fiction in real life.
Mo Berg was the smartest baseball player in the world. Even Yogi Berra said that. He had an IQ that was phenomenal. He could speak 12 languages. He was used in probably 6 major missions that made a difference in what happened in World War II, which you'll find more about in The Magic Spy, because they come up against some bully named Adolf, and they sort of pull a switcheroo in his suicide plan, but stay tuned for that.
Okay, no, absolutely. Mediocre catcher, though. He was a great intelligence, but yeah, he wasn't a great catcher.
I love it. No, you're right.
Scott, doesn't
right.
You know, when you read things like
right.
that, when you read things like that, that gives a much more realistic bend to the story. You know that someone has done their research and someone really cares what the readers are thinking, because just like you're picking it up and you're surprised, others will as well. The same way as, like Sasser was saying, she loved the use of language, the lingo at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be the same without it. It wouldn't be the same without the music of the era as well. So,
right.
Absolutely. You know, but it is fascinating to me that you picked that out immediately. I have to go and look things like that up, because that's not something I would know anyway. I don't know anything about sports people.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott, Graveyard Love, A Red-Haired Lady in a Cemetery, not very bad for a promise of a premise. I like it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that was But, no,
thanks for calling in, Scott. Scott, how are you doing? I haven't spoken to you. You did a flash piece on Noir, didn't you? On Noir on the radio one time? Weren't you on?
No. We were supposed to be on. We'll talk. You went in for surgery at that point. So we
that's right. Well, now I'm three weeks past surgery, so now you and I will talk, okay? Because I've got a wide-open schedule in October. So let's make sure to talk. Either you contact me or I'll contact you, and let's set something up, okay?
No problem. But
all right,
wait,
my friend. Thank you, Scott.
See you soon.
Oh, okay.
Hey,
okay.
Scott,
you have a question.
If they make a movie, will you do a cameo?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
There you go. Bye, Scott. I need to take just a few minutes here to do an announcement. This is a trademark copyrighted podcast solely owned by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC. Also, it's my understanding that Kate has set up a little cheers for all of us. I hope you have your glasses ready, your beer cans, your wine bottles.
Around the world.
The clink heard around the world. Kate Cuz, to the damp fedora, clink to you.
Okay, on three, two, one.
Clink. There you go. Now, if you want to talk to Kate, as you know, you can call in at 347-633-9609. Nell has left the building, so we are not going to be able to talk to her. She's off on another caper.
Yes, she is.
But I want you to know, if you want to hear more about the damp fedora, you can go to Amazon right now. The book is available, and it is so dirt freaking cheap. It's $3.99, published by Down and Out Books. And guess what? I'm buying it right now. Okay, I just clicked
the
buy.
The paperback version's out, too, and Kristen Fouquet says it's silky in your hands.
Well, there you go. It is. I now have the another version of it. I have a more original version, but I do have. I have now the ebook too. I don't know. I figure eventually you'll send me a signed paper copy, but But I want to read from Matt Hilton, who is the author of the international bestseller Joe Hunter Thrillers. This is what he had to say about the damp fedora. Original, distinctive, and quirky. There's something legendary about Kate's writing. Writing doesn't fully describe the evocative prose. It sings off the page with the sultriness of a Hollywood starlet and raps with the cool of the Rat Pack. I can't decide if she carries her pen in a holster on her stocking thigh or in a violin case alongside her Tommy gun. What a fantastic little review for you. There is another one that AJ Hayes, who's a revered crime noir author of thrillers, who wrote also, and I want to read a little bit about what he said. Fair warning, you are about to be enveloped by a whirlwind, a soft whirlwind of words and snappy patter. And hoods wide shouldering the front seat of midnight sedans and a ball player on the outs and back ends and gats and Tommy guns of the 45 persuasion rat-a-tat-tatting and the best cup of joe in the world, and a rock-hard chunk of chocolate that ain't candy, and Sinatra crooning, and the wind song all over your mind, and some secret and not-so-secret agents. And if this all sounds confusing, keep in mind what Nell Towes Callahan tells you right out front. Something's up. Something always is. Remember that, and you'll be all right, bub. You'll be exactly all right. Congratulations, Kate Pilarczyk, on an absolutely brilliant, brilliant debut novel. I am blown away by how much thought you put into it, although I'm not, because I know you. But I am hopeful that we have just as many people calling and going and buying your book. And I hope you'll come back again, and I hope, and I know you're going to do this because you promised me you would. You said you would take a turn behind the microphone with me. Will you do that sometime really soon?
Yes, I will. I look forward to that. I'm so honored tonight. I so enjoyed the callers, what Matt and AJ, my
my guy up in heaven, the real fedora fella, had to say,
yep,
that blew me
yep.
away, and they were behind me.
Okay, so we've got, I've got still, we have still Don sitting on the phone. I'm going to let Don give us some last words, okay, since he's still here visiting. Don, are you still there? Don, are you still there? Don?
We lost him.
He might have the mute on. But anyway, what do you want to tell everyone that they don't already know?
I want to sideline for a moment from the book to authors taking authors to hire, and that's why this book is has the chance that it does. I've always been there in the community of noir, crime, thriller authors, and it makes a difference. There's something that just comes off on you. And this book is about illusions, not what they are or what they're not, but how they make a difference in the past or the choices that you take. It's a small book, if you remember The Little Prince, but it packs so many backstories and side stories, and there's a gossamer thread when I researched the difference that magic makes in the spy espionage business. I thought there would be a connection. Author John Shepard does many books on deception, but as I researched and I stayed in the 1940s, there was a magician who was famous in America at the time, John Mulholland, was the protege of Houdini. He was picked up by the OSS, which became the CIA, to write the actual manual. So you will see that John Mulholland is who the OSS has training Mo and Nell in their next missions. And every authentic spy technique, deception trick, is there. We can't give away a magic trick, but you will see what happens. And to take history and not recreate it, but just show it through a few characters who are fictional and the rest who are not, is going back in time and living it. And that's what I like. But readers, to know what they want and how they're responding and the difference that a good illusion makes, that's important. And I've been feeling it, and that's just wonderful.
Well, thank you so much, cuz. You know I love you. I know this book is going to be a big hit. I can tell already. I want to remind everyone, enjoy the books that you read, but the best thing you can do if you really enjoy is to leave a review. I cannot tell you how critical it is to leave a review. That's like having a fine dining experience and walking out without leaving a tip. You just don't do that. Leave a review for the author and tell them how much you enjoyed reading their book. They've put their blood, sweat, and tears into giving you something that you like. Okay? Kate Pilarczyk, I love you, cousin. Congratulations on your success with this book, and you and I will be talking soon, okay?
Sam Stack, I love you, and in keeping with the 40s lingo, good night, Mrs. Calabas, wherever you are.
There you go. See you later, Tuts. Good
See
night.
You, pal. Good night.
Bye. And that's our show for tonight. I'm so glad that you joined us, and so many of you called in and said hi to Kate. Thank you. On Friday, I'm going to be speaking to a young woman who wrote a book and is a wizard and an expert on social media marketing for authors. Please join me at 9 o'clock on Friday. In the meantime, have a lovely evening. Thank you for being here, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night, all.